All right, raise up your Bible. Everybody that brought a Bible, I want to see all the Bibles, the tablets, the whatever it is. I want you to get used to bringing your Word. This is your manual. I know that I probably will read it the way it says it, but if I skip over a line, you'll be able to see it. And I want you to get used to carrying that Word with you at all times. That's why at the rodeos, wherever we're at, even at the College National Finals, when I'm in that tent service, we have cowboy Bibles, don't we, at the table. And if you don't have a Bible, I try to teach those rodeo contestants and anybody that throw that Bible on the dash of your truck or your car. I mean, that's your manual. You know, you don't have to keep it all prim and proper so you don't mess up the leather. I mean, just it's our Word. I've gone through so many of these Bibles, and I want you to get used to carrying them, because it's important that we get into the Word of God. We're not playing church, and none of y'all are. But when you understand that we don't just come to church and that's the first time we open the Bible in a week, we want to stay in this Word consistently in these last days. Because Pastor Corey might not be around. I may be in Las Vegas ministering the gospel when you have a major need. Now, we'll have some people around if you need us. But when you start learning to get into the Word of God and you start learning how to use the concordance in the back of your Bible, then it will help you find answers, especially when you're younger and you're going through some relationship issues and you're trying to deal with peer pressure or in a business when you're having to. And most everybody knows this because I've said it for 20 plus years. You know, most of my counseling sessions are with millionaires. Because not that when people don't have as much, they're just blessed, but they don't have as much. I deal with a lot of those people, but for some reason, and I'm fixing to do one for 4 hours. I said, what? Did you say 4 hours? I've never done a service that long. And it's just, he said, well, I can't this week because I'm going to my trust lawyer appointment. I mean, ooh, Jesus. Well, the reason that a lot of people that have an abundance of finances need more counseling is because there's lots of pressure when you have more responsibility and you're dealing with a lot of people and you're trying to listen to God on, concerning your finances. But listen to me. When you understand that the answer is in the Word of God, then when the preacher's not there, you can go to it and seek relief. You remember when James 1 says, when you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom? Did you notice it didn't say, when you lack wisdom financially, begin with the banker? That might be down the road or sometime, but why don't you seek God? Amen? So bring your Bible. In your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalms 21, and we're going to go through 23. Thank you. I'm glad y'all been there for a while now. Psalms 23. First verse, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, verse 3, leads me into the path of righteousness. Isn't that great? I just thought, isn't it wonderful that a God is trying to lead you in the right way? Because it's very tempting to be led into a wrong direction. And he does it for his name's sake, it says. And then verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou, or you, sir, God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I spent all last week on just that. Then verse 5 says, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now I'll go on because I'm going to deal with verse 5. Three areas today. Verse 6, though, says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord. I've been dissecting for y'all that haven't been consistently to church. And if you haven't, you can always listen to these messages online, wccowboychurch.org. Go to Facebook. And right now we are live on, you know, on social media and other areas where you can literally, matter of fact, as of now, we're on several stations in Houston and a lot of areas where they can dig into this message. And I always forget to tell y'all that we're on a few TV stations as of now. But I want to deal with verse 5. And here's the very first part. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what that is? That's hope. How many of you know that according to John 10:10, the Bible, and just go ahead and speak it with me because you should know this scripture, right? John 10:10. It says this, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that's in the King James. Stealing, killing, destroying. That's the enemy's job. His job is not what Jesus says right after that in John 10:10. That I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life and more abundant life. So God wants us to have an abundant life, but obviously we know that there's an enemy. And the enemy does not want good to come to you and your family. He wants divorce. He wants lack. He wants doubt. He wants fear. He wants unbelief. He wants all those things to try to get you off of the road of blessing, because really, that's who God is. And He's created you to be blessed and highly favored. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Preach back to me every now and then, please. I love being preached back to because that's called agreement. I mean, you know, you go to a black church, ooh, they get into it. That's right, brother. And everybody like, us white people, that's hard to say anything, you know. We don't want to get out of order. Well, I mean, every now and then, just say, amen. Amen. I agree, sir. Let's try it. Okay, good. Way to go, Rusty. It's hope when you understand that when He prepares a table for us in the presence of an enemy. And listen to this very statement and always remember this, because it'll help you in your walk with God. The Word of God says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You understand that, right? In other words, we're not wrestling with each other, flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual darkness. We're wrestling against an enemy that sets out before you bad things, a curse. Thank God we just read and studied that we're redeemed from the curse because of Jesus, right? Okay, but when you understand that we have hope when God prepares a table in the presence of our enemy, this literally means that you can then sit, you can relax, you can take comfort, you can have a meal, or whatever it is that you're about to do, even if the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, you can relax and honestly have a meal in the presence of an enemy without fear, even when the enemy is right in front of you. How many of you know when you're led by the Spirit of God and you're believing God and you believe that God has given you direction in some area of your life? How many of you know then the enemy is going to try to stop that? There's a lot of things that will give us hope when we understand that God prepares a table for us in the presence of the enemy. In other words, God has already prepared you to stay in victory. Come on. We need to understand that our God is for us and not against us. Remember the word, all through the word of God teaches us that, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? A stinking devil? All the devil is, y'all, is a fallen angel. An angel was not created like you and I. An angel has to stand in the presence of God. But did you realize that you and I can sit or stand in God's presence? Why? Because God created us in God's image, in His likeness. And I'm here to tell you, it will give you hope, especially when the enemy is trying to stop you from succeeding. He's trying to stop you from having the victory that God's called you to actually have. Our God is a good God. That's why I love singing about my God is a good God. He's not a God because a lot of people, and I have to say this, a lot of people have this understanding that, watch out. God might humble you. Have you ever heard that? I heard it all growing up. You know, watch out, God will humble you. Do you realize that's nowhere in the Word of God? But you know what it does say? Humble yourself. I've been teaching a few people about humility because it's so important. I mean, the love of God, remember, is not, it doesn't present itself haughty. It's not all puffed up. Well, that's how we should all live, in a humility that we're grateful for what God has given us. I'm not talking about a false humility. I'm talking about just being humble in the presence of the Lord. Because I'm here to tell you, that's hope, y'all. That's victory. And we've got to start operating in victory, knowing who you and I are in Christ Jesus. We have victory in Him. Again, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. In other words, the enemy can't reach out to you. Or I should say it like this, the enemy can really reach out. But when you're protected, he can't touch you. Why? Because God's your shield, I wrote down. He's your provider. I wrote down that he's your comforter. So everybody turn, hold your place in Psalms and go to your left really fast. And go to Isaiah. Isaiah. Let's go to the right. My bad. I was like, where is it at? Go to Isaiah. See, that's why you got to bring your Bible. And go to 54. And everybody knows the scripture if you've been coming to this church very often. I did a whole... Matter of fact, I preached this, I think, last year at the big ministers' conference in San Antonio. Lots of ministers here, and I'm the president of the Cowboy Ministers Network. So, and you don't have to be a cowboy to come. So a lot of denomination people come to this ministers conference. This is what I preached. Are you ready? Isaiah 54, look at verse 17. Say amen if you're there. Amen. 54 and 17. What does it say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. You know how you condemn it? The way you live. The understanding that God leads you in the path of righteousness. That He's a good shepherd to you. He's going to take care of you, you see. Why? Well, because you're His kid. You're His you're, listen. You're not just a servant, y'all. Okay? Think bigger. You know what you are? A son, a daughter. It changes a lot of things in my thinking when I see myself as a son of God. I'm His son. And a good daddy A good shepherd, a good father, takes care of his kids. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we're the head, not the tail. That's why we're above, as Deuteronomy says, and not beneath the situations in life, praise God. And so you have to stand when God prepares a table in front of your enemies, right there. I mean, the enemy is there. You're either going to get into fear. Uh-oh. Remember, I've taught y'all that mom, good to see you, my brother. Hadn't seen him in a long time. My mama always said one time, she said, now, and I bet I was 8 years old. I'll never forget this. And I'm in the front of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I'm on the sidewalk, you know, and we were already fighting and causing trouble or something. And Mama, you know, got on to us, you know, right close to where I think you got run over with a car or Dad did somewhere. In was it my dad? Yeah, right there. And I'll never forget Mama going, now, Corey, come here. When you talk out loud to the devil, try to be real quiet. And I said, why, Mama? She goes, because he might hear you. And I'll never forget her saying that, because really what she was saying is she was more of afraid of the devil than he was afraid of her. Now, she changed, buddy, not very long after that, because she was a firehouse, born again, I mean, in your face type Christian. But she had to learn that the devil is just a fallen angel, y'all. He has no authority over us unless when he's in front of us, we get into fear, doubt, or unbelief. Amen. When you're in fear, doubt, and unbelief, you're not in faith. All right. So now let's go to the very next part then. Thou anoints my head with oil. You know what that is? The Holy Spirit. Oil is reference to the Holy Spirit. So think about that for a minute. All through the Word of God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, in some translations it's ghost, Holy Ghost. He's our teacher. The Word teaches us that He's our comforter. He's the third of the Trinity. Praise God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Man, when you understand that the Spirit of God is, I mean, He's the one that I'm led by constantly, because He's the one that's still here. Where the Father is in heaven. His Son Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Remember, He got crucified, raised from the dead. Okay? But the Spirit of God is here. And that's who I talk to constantly. And His anointing is all around, praise God. Yeah, obviously, He's on the inside of us by the Spirit. But I'm here to tell you, He is moving. That anointing is what breaks yokes of bondage. The Spirit of God, man, He wants to lead you in the path of righteousness again. And when we understand that, that's what it's talking about, that God anoints my head with oil. The Holy Spirit, again, is He's the one that comforts when bad things are happening. And I know our country is going through a pretty tough time right now. I mean, wow. Just, you pick, and you need to, if you're mature, I should say that. You need to kind of stay up with the times if you're a mature Christian. Because you need to kind of see what to stand against. And you know what we need to stand against? The spirit of fear. Because there's a religion trying to take over even the state of Texas that operates by fear. That's why they'll take a gun and search out the good to kill, as we saw with our military. Our National Guard. Come on, man. Our National Guard is trying to keep people safe, and then there's people that infiltrated our country that doesn't think like a believer in Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, listen to me carefully. The reason God is anointed the Western world in these last days is because we're still bold enough to speak the truth. I'm not afraid to stand behind this podium and preach truth. And I'm not afraid of someone coming in these doors trying to kill, steal, and destroy. You know why? Because we're protected by the blood of Jesus and we're packing. Listen to me though. We have to stand on the principles of being led by the Spirit of God called the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, then we discern bad things and we get out of, you know, bad situations. I mean, that's the very first part here. He sets before me a table in the presence of my enemy. I'm not going to cow down and back up to the days of Babylon. The before Jesus, just because, you know, I see trials and tribulations come my way. I see the enemy trying to destroy. I see Christianity trying to be, you know, knocked off of the foundation that this country was founded on. No, it's going to take all of us believers out of love, but with boldness to stand up on the principles of our God. And it's going to take some boldness, y'all. And that's what this is talking about. You've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because God anoints your head with oil. Now, really fast, what time is it? Oh man, I'm doing good. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you get to Corinthians, go left. Amen? Go to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to start verse 14. Okay? This is going to back up being led by the Spirit, right? This is where you go to. And you say, sir, I'm going to be led by your Spirit. So I need some wisdom. I need understanding. I need direction. I need protection. I need whatever it is. I need to speak to the mountain. Command it to be cast in the sea. You know. Okay, look at verse 14, Romans chapter 8. Again, say amen if you're there. Amen. Is anybody still looking for it? Say, oh me. Okay, you're there. Verse 14, look at this. For as many, that's talking about us, as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's talking about daughters as well. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. When you gave your heart to Jesus, y'all, the Spirit of God resides on the inside of you. But you're to be led by that Spirit. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, say it, Abba, Father. Let's all say that. Abba, Father. We cry out to the Lord, in other words. We don't run away from Him, even in sin. I teach these college kids, hey, when you sin, don't run from God, run to Him. Because the enemy wants you to run away. Go as far away from God as you... That's what he tried to tell me in college. And then 3 years... No, 2 years, the party was at my house. Did Bible study before that. And then a trial and tribulation, I had a choice. And that's why I'm preaching this stuff today. For 2 solid years, the party was at my house. I was a fun guy. I just was. And they came, hundreds, 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas. Because that's where we'd all go. But listen to me. The Spirit, verse 16, Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So are you convinced? Look at me. Look at me. Look right here. Are you convinced that you're children of God? Are you convinced? I mean, are you convinced that you're God's kid? Yeah, I think I am. But you just don't know what I did back when. God can never forgive me for what I did. I've heard that over and over and over. And it breaks my heart. Because all that's saying is you don't know who you are in Christ. If you gave your heart to Jesus, you're a son or a daughter of God. Say amen to that, y'all. And you've got to be convinced. Because the enemy, remember, he's going to try to tell you, you're not good enough. That's how I was raised. Right, Mom? Remember, our old churches would say, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. And y'all know, please. And they do it sometimes when you're out there. But please don't come up to me when I say, how you doing? Better than I deserve. Please don't say that. I want to teach you. I want you to get freedom from saying that's a habit that people's gotten into. Better than I deserve. Nuh-uh. If you're a child of the Most High God and you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're His kid, then you deserve everything. You deserve the promises. You deserve the blessing. You deserve healing. You deserve redemption. All because of Jesus, though, right? All right? Now, verse 17 and again. And if you're children, you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's do the last part and then I'll close. Because it says, my cup, it's my favorite part, y'all. My cup is half full. What does it say? Runneth over. Think about that. The blessing of God just runs over in my life. Not no better than anybody, not holier than thou, not a goody two-shoe. That's how we was raised, right? But humility-wise, that's the truth. But my cup runs over. You know what that is? John 10:10, abundance. The thief comes not but for two. Say it with me. Come on. Steal, kill, destroy. It goes on to say, but I have come. It's in red, y'all. Jesus is talking. But I have come that we might have life and more abundant. It uses that word abundant. Abundant life. In other words, God has your back in every situation because your cup runs over. What does Philippians 4:19 say? My God. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. Let's say it again. My God. I mean, come on, women. Teach those men how, with a little bit of attitude. Just elbow the girls on both sides of you. Because, I mean, you got some... I saw her moving. Get a little attitude like y'all have with us. I said something to my wife. She said, no, you don't, boy. I said, what'd you say? She said, I said what I said. You know what I said? Yes, ma'am. With attitude. And I'm not talking sinful attitude. I'm talking with some confident attitude like y'all have. My God. I said, my God. Say it again. My God shall supply all my need. Come on, brother. I mean, I'm talking about when you're playing football, are you like, please don't hurt me? No, you're going to wreck them, right? You're going to run them over. When you put on that helmet, things change, right? When you back into the box, that is not the time to fear missing. You go to the national finals, and I've taught those bull riders the same thing. I said, listen, stop saying the old saying that all the rough stock people say that is a curse. You know what they say? This is a rough sport, brother. It's not if I get hurt. It is when I get hurt. I'm riding a bull. You know what I say to them? Yo mama. Because if I was riding the bull, I would not want it to hurt me. So why don't we discern and start speaking the word of God? You know what Genesis says, Ron? Genesis says that we have authority over all of the animals, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So why wouldn't you lay your hand on that bull and declare the word of God? And start saying, bull, you know you can talk to bulls, especially at the national finals. Bull, you're going to buck, and I'm going to ride you, but you're not going to hurt me. Why? Because I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. And then if something happens where you get in over into what they call the well, if you get over there, then check out. Kick your old leg over. That's what they teach. Kick your leg over and get gone. What if they coming to get you? Well, then run fast. I mean, get out of Dodge, boys. Get to the fence, right? Get on top of the fence where the bull cannot get you. You see, there's something about speaking the word of God. When you back into the box at the national finals, that is not the time to let fear come in your mind. So those professional world champion national finalists, they understand that they control this mind. And if you understand that you have the mind of Christ, that's when your cup runs over. It's only half full when you don't understand the power, the dunamis power of God in your life. So we got to start changing the way we think, right? We got to start speaking to our body. Body, you're not going to... Y'all remember my knee? Look at that thing. My knee, it hadn't hurt since we prayed over it last week. I got on the horse, James, when we was practicing and you was filming. By the way, thank you for filming. Would you send those videos to me?
I already did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, we're having a conversation, y'all. Says. You did send them? Okay, good. I was looking for them. Where was I? Oh. And the last time when I got on, I threw this in my right knee. Well, when I stood up and I kicked my horse out from a trot into a lope or whatever, I could feel just a little bit on the outside, a little bit behind. Well, ever since we prayed for it, when we were practicing, I mean, you know why? Because I spoke to the mountain. And I commanded it to be cast into the sea. And I started confessing, Father, I thank you, Lord, my knee is healed by the power of you, God, in Jesus' name. Do everything in Jesus' name. And I mean, look at this thing. You see that, brother? Right? Man, I appreciate your walk with the Lord. I mean it. I'm so proud that young people come and want to serve God. Amen.
Amen. Mm.
Would y'all agree that our cup needs to run over? So that you, it's 11:50. I got 10 minutes. You remember when the Bible says when Jesus got into the boat and he had been ministering, remember? The most familiar. He gets into the boat. He's give out tired. The storm comes. We all remember it. Do you realize that in one or two of the Gospels, in one or two, it talks about when Jesus said, peace, be still. And it calmed the winds and the storm, remember? You remember when it said that the calmness came to all the other little ships around? You remember that? When your cup runs over, the blessing of God flows on everybody else around you. So that's why you need to get around good people. I'm going to go in business with people that are for me, that understand the vision. I can't tell you how many people have tried to come to this church in 22 years. And y'all might even not know it. But they come to me to try to teach me how to pastor this church better. That's a bad thing to do to me. I got enough cowboy in me. Please don't do that. It's out of order. Because if you knew how to do better, he had called you to pastor it and I'd have stayed out in the field. it's important that we keep things in order, y'all. And so, man, I'm just going to keep being led by the Spirit of God. I want to do what God says. When the blessing is flowing, I want people all around me to receive the blessing of God. Y'all, that's what this is talking about. Your cup runs over. I wrote down just a few things that I believe your cup needs to run over in. You know what one of them is? Material things. All through the Word of God, when you truly study it out, the Bible uses the word prosperous. And even if you've been watching TV evangelists and they don't have time to truly teach about prosperity, or you've seen them do things, or they said something that, you know, it looked like money controlled them and they're all about money and not, I will never judge that because I'm not their judge. Amen. They'll reap what they sow. But when you talk about prospering, the third John, you're prospering with material things. God wants you to enjoy life. Because I can promise you, you can't enjoy life when they're trying to beat on your door to take your truck because you hadn't been able to afford to take it or to pay for it. Okay? Your cup needs to run over in material things. Your cup needs to run over. I don't know why I wrote this, but I did. Food items. I mean, praise the Lord for prosperity on bananas. I don't know. I don't know why I wrote that, but I did. I'm like, did I write food? Okay. I will need my cup to run over on the blessing of God. Maybe it was because it was Thanksgiving and I needed some more pecan pie. Your cup needs to run over with your friends, to have the godly friends, with your family. I'm telling you, I know families that are so broken, they don't want to spend any time, or they avoid or whatever. Well, no, I want your cup running over with your family. Your spiritual growth. I mean, I prayed for my children the other day. I was driving. I was all by myself. And I began to say, Father, in Jesus' name, give them a fire. Give them a fire. You know what? Seth called me yesterday and said, God, he said, Dad, me and Keely and Hayes Johnson. Hayes Johnson is Trey Johnson's boy that has ministered here many times. We're going to go to a church that Trey started in Weatherford, Texas. I said, yeah. I said, do it, boy. Don't sleep in. Just because you're in college, don't sleep in. No, have a fire for God. See, I want his cup running over in his spiritual growth. And I believe that your cup will run over as God fills it with joy. The joy of the Lord that produces strength. With the peace of God, with love. Because, man, when you operate with love, then true love will cast out all fear. Amen. In other words, I want you to draw close to God, because that's what makes your cup run over. And depend on God for everything. In Jesus' name. My God shall supply all my need. My God. Did you hear me, girl? I mean, you haircutters, this is what you should say. Do you hear me, girl? Instead of that gossip, my God. Come on, welder. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches. That means you just keep your priorities right, right? In Christ Jesus. Say that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some praise, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, I love the Lord. Father, it is a privilege to be in your kingdom, especially when we have hope. Because when you set a table before our enemies, that's hope. We don't have to be in fear. We have hope. Thank you for being our Lord, for giving us wisdom, for allowing us to have the fire for you, that we grow, spiritual growth. We're not playing church, sir. So, Father, if there's anyone at the sound of my voice here in this sanctuary or watching that is just, it seems like their wood is a little wet, I command that wood to dry up now and cause a fire to be built in their spiritual life, in their health, in their finances, in their relationships that are founded on You. And Father, I thank You, Lord, that regardless if there was divorce or if there was hurt, that Father, we don't look to the things of the past, we look to the things forward, to the mark of the high calling. So Father, I thank You for the redemption. I thank You, Lord, that our cup runs over. And I give You praise for it now, in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you're going through a few things, you're dealing with an enemy that is right in front of you, and he's trying to stop you from the vision that God gave you, from the dream that God has given you. He's trying to get you off the road of the blessing of God. He wants you to stand and watch everybody else be blessed. That's an enemy for you. Your health, it might be your health, whatever it is, finances, relationships, school. I mean, everything that can get us down. If the enemy is right there in front of you, and you just need some prayer of faith, agreement to get through the valley of the shadow of death, to get through the trial and tribulation, and you just want me to pray for you, here's what I want you to do right now. I don't want you to come to the front. I want you, if that's you, you're just dealing with an enemy trying to attack, to stop, to do something, to drive you away from God. If that's you and you're dealing with something, I want you to just stand up right where you are and I'm going to pray over you. Just stand up. Good. Stand up right where you're at. Doesn't matter what it is. Has nothing to do with your walk with God, your faith. There's just an enemy, and please stand with me. If that's you, just get up right where you're at and just stand, and I'm going to pray over you. Glory be to God. Thank You, Lord. And don't be afraid. You get up. And it doesn't matter how little or big it is. Stand up if that's you. Whatever you're believing God for, and I'm going to pray over you. Jesus' name. You're saying the enemy is trying to stop. I'm not going to allow him. By faith, get up in Jesus' name. Let me pray over you. Glory be to God. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Now, y'all know what I like to do. I like to do what the Word says. I want believers praying over people. I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to be in agreement that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen. If you see someone standing around you, I want you to get up, and I'm talking about faith people. That ought to be all of you. And I want you to go lay hands on this dear sister and just love on her. We appreciate, just right behind you, I want someone just laying hands on. Thank you, cowboy. I appreciate you coming. I do. Just lay hands on her. I need some ladies over here. After you pray for her, I want you to pray for this precious lady right there. You just lay hands on her. I want you to pray over his body. Now, when you're led by the Spirit of God, whatever you discern, we're not going to ask anybody what they're going through. God knows. But whatever it is, let's begin to pray over them. And y'all just pray over every one of them. If you want to get their name, I call you healed in Jesus' name. Father, thank You, Lord, for this man. Thank You, Lord. We just thank You, Lord, for the manifestation. Whatever they're believing God for, the Bible says in Mark 16 to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You, Lord, when there's redemption, there's a new beginning. So, Father, I just praise You that we're not going to stay down. We're going to stay in faith in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Father, thank You. No matter if you're standing, just pray over them. If you got a prayer language, you pray in it. Father, thank You for this precious woman. Glory be to God. Thank You, Lord, for this man. Gosh. greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world, brother. Come on. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Just thank you. Bless these people. Give them that wisdom that they're desiring now in Jesus' name. And we give you praise for it. You deserve it. You deserve to receive from God. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You got to say that, y'all. You got to. You deserve it. Listen, brother. You deserve it. You deserve the best. Right? He deserves it. No matter what it is. No matter what the enemy is trying to steal. Come on. Right there. You deserve it. It's yours. And we're all. See, everybody that's standing. And if I didn't come, I want to lay hands on these two. Okay? Did you pray over her? I mean, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for the answers in all areas in Jesus' name. Amen? I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God's the Comforter. That is great news in Jesus' name. Amen? Thank you, Lord, that we're set free. Glory be to God. Father, thank you for this precious woman. You deserve the best. Because you're God's kid. He loves you no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for her. Now, if you were standing, just say, I received that. All right. You can go back to your seat if you was praying over them, because that's all we need. Would everybody pray this prayer with me? Out of your mouth. And here's why I'm doing this, and I want everybody to do it, because if you're not saved, you got to get born again. And you got to think about what will happen to me when I leave this earth and die. Die of the flesh. You're living somewhere. According to the Bible, it's either in heaven or it's in hell. Well, the reason you're here is I hope you have a desire to go to heaven, right? Amen. I've never seen anybody come to church wanting to go to hell. Unless they don't have the spiritual understanding. And then they get set free, and heaven is a lot better place. Amen. Say amen. Amen. When you stand before God, it's called the Great Judgment Day. God's going to say one of two things according to the Bible. Not to what some preacher says. The Bible says, when you stand before God, by the way, remember, I always like to illustrate it. Jesus is right here, the Son. He's got this book. You ought to read the Bible. It's a cool book. He's got this book called the Book of Life. When you stand there, God's going to go, Jesus, yep, she gave her life to me on this date, sir. And you know what God's going to say according to the Bible? Well done. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter. Enter. Heaven, the rest of the Lord, the joy. It's nothing but joy. Come on. That's what God's going to say. But, remember, the Bible says He's not a man. He is not a fleshly man that He can lie. If you choose, because He gave us all a will, right? If you say, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that God thing. How can you believe in something? Remember that my song? How can you believe in a Bible that was written so long ago? How can you believe in some man that would give his life for me? Come on. I don't believe. Well, you have the will, the right to do that. And you can say no to God. Just like you can say yes to Him. The only problem is when you leave this earth and die, and the Bible's really true, which it is, and Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth that He's Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Hell. It's hot. It's a bad place. You don't want to go there. But if you choose, nope, I don't believe in any of that stuff. When you stand before God, all over this world, God's going to have to say, depart. Depart, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want that to happen to anybody. So I want you to pray a prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. But what I do here is I want everybody to pray it. Not to get saved again. Not fire insurance. I knew a lady that every time I preached, she got saved. I just want to make sure. I don't want to go to hell. Oh, I mean, she raised her hand over and over. Like she got saved like 17 times. No, you get saved, you get born again one time, and you got to have confidence in your salvation. Regardless of sin, Jesus paid it, paid for that sin, covered it with his blood. Amen? The reason I have everybody pray the prayer is not to get saved again, but to learn the prayer, and then maybe pray it with someone beside you. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you don't know what God would say if you stood in front of him and left this earth. And I'm not speaking death on anybody. I just want you to think about it, because there's going to be a day when you stand before God. What's he going to say? If you don't know, give your heart to Jesus right now by praying this prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just, you don't know, then pray this prayer out loud, and the rest of us, we're going to pray it with you. Amen? Let's pray it out loud. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead and I'm saved today. Come into heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I need help. I need a Savior. I need a Word. And I'm willing to learn. In Jesus' name I pray. With your heads bowed again and eyes closed, if you don't mind, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, when I count to three, get that hand up with boldness. We are not ashamed. When I count to three, one, two, three, when I reach three, I want you to be bold enough to say, I just prayed that prayer and I just gave my heart to Jesus. And when you raise it up, then just put it right back down after I see it. And I want you to do that with boldness. You ready? If you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Appreciate it. I do. Really honored. Honored. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate that. Anybody else that I didn't see? I appreciate my brother. I appreciate my sister. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I want to just give you, he's going to hand you that Bible. I just want to give it to you. Thank you. All right, look at me. Hey. That's why I do what I do. That's why I have such a heart for, that's why I'm going to Vegas, y'all. I don't want to. I tell, me and my wife are like, let's do it again. Here we go. It's so easy just to stay right here, but the Lord has not released me to not keep traveling. And so, thank you. Thank you, Howdy. Thank you, Ricky and Rusty. When I'm gone, y'all preach the word, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And your wives. Oh, the true ministers, you know. The wives that just stay hooked back there, you know. I love y'all very much. Amen. Hey, really no announcements before we're dismissed, except you see them on the deal. But we have a little celebration, and I love the heart of this man that wanted to put up that light, that flagpole. And really, and I he asked me, and I said yes, absolutely. But his one request was that the American flag not be flying. The Christian flag needs to be flying. Well, you know what that's going to mean? Is that everybody that comes by, everybody that drives by, and you'll be amazed. When I first moved here 20 plus years ago, this road was not very busy. Oh, man, people are moving here. And every person that comes by and sees that Christian flag is going, it's the harvest. That's why our ranch name is Harvest Ranch. in 2 Sundays, not this next Sunday, but the next. We're not going to take communion on this next Sunday. We normally do it on the 1st. Is that right? Is the next Sunday like the 7th, right? On the 14th, after the service in here, and I'm going to kind of make it a little more brief if possible. Did y'all hear that? If possible. We're going to go out there and we're going to have a little celebration and we're going to hoist that Christian flag. And if we really want to put the American and Texan, then we'll just buy a new flagpole. But I'm going to honor his heart on that because I approved it. So after the service in here, we're going to go out there and we're going to sing a few songs, and we're just going to have a little celebration while we hoist this flag. Amen. And I want y'all to be a part of it. And so invite your friends, and it's going to be in his heart a little ceremony, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, if it was just me, I'd just hoist the thing. You know, that's just the way I am. But you know what? It's in his heart. We're going to pray over it. And I've had to learn a few things. I had to learn what a doxology is. Does anybody know what a doxology is? Yeah, y'all religious people. Because y'all know, so y'all need to teach me about a doxology. I think it's just that song, isn't it? I think so. It's a praising God, and I'm okay with those words. It's a doxology. I said, what's a doxology? I'm a cowboy, man. Been in the ministry a long time, but we just don't do religious kind of, it run so many people off. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Thank y'all for showing up. All right. So next Sunday we'll be gone, and then the next I'm going to finish verse 6, and then we'll be done with Psalms 23, and it's been such a blessing to me. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, mainly for the two that just gave their heart to you. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that angels in heaven are rejoicing. And that's called fruit, sir. It's fruit. And we thank you for that. Now, Father, as we leave this ranch, we leave this church, this building. We are the church, sir. So, Father, the Word says you never leave us, you never forsake us. So, thank you for going with us. We thank you, Lord, do we have Bible study on Tuesday? Okay, so as we come back for Tuesday night Bible study or next Sunday, thank you, sir, that you get to go with us now. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're just...